Welcome to Shine On, the podcast where older people share stories. My name is Judy Wilde. In this podcast, we talk to creative older people in Leeds and find out about their lives. Today's episode is called All About Seven. Seven Arts is a thriving arts venue in the heart of Chapel Allerton. My guest today is Pat Hunter, a founder member of the venue. We met in the event space at Seven to talk about the origins of the project, how it has evolved, and why creativity is important.
The project actually started way back in 1997, when Chapel Allerton wasn't the place it is today. There were lots and lots of empty shops. Houses were very cheap. That's why a few of us moved here now. Sadly, for people trying to move here these days, it's not the case. But there was a group of residents who felt that we wanted to make Chapel Allerton a better place to be and to live in and to encourage people to come to. And we had a meeting. It's a long story, so I'll cut it very short. We had a meeting and invited lots of people to come along. And from that, the idea of an arts festival came out. So the Chapel Allerton Arts Festival was born in 1998. It was born in 1998. And we wanted to bring our community together by using the arts, because we all felt really strongly that that was a way to do that effectively. So Chapel Allerton Arts Festival was born, but with that was also a determination, because Chapel Allerton Arts Festival is a street festival. And one of the things we noted at that time, that there was nowhere as a performance space apart from the Methodist Centre. And lovely though that is, you can't serve alcohol there. So we were very determined that we would try to build an effective arts space. And again, it's a very long story, but eventually this Seven came out of really a derelict piece of land which had was belonging to both the police authority and Leeds City Council. And that made it complicated because there were two lots of people. But again, we worked together with a local property developer, Brian Peace, and he agreed with us to build the flats which are above Seven and to allow us to have the ground floor at a very cheap price. So part of that was giving something back. He had to give something back to the community, and what he was giving back was the land, the building in a way that we wouldn't have normally been able to fund. So that project started actually in, I think, 2004-05. So we gave up organising the festival at that point to come and organise Seven. So finally it came to fruition in 2007, and we had to open on, we just had to because it was auspicious, we opened on the 7th of the 7th month of 2007 at 7 p.m.
And think of it like Channel 4.
I guess so.
Got up and running. You'd obviously surveyed the local community, acted on their feedback, and got together this wonderful venue and opened it. So how did you decide on what the ethos of the centre was going to be?
Well, what we decided is that we really wanted to bring really good quality national, regional and international arts to this area. There's nothing else like it. And in order to get good quality arts, people have to go to the city centre. So that's really, that was and still is our mission, to do that on a day-to-day basis, so that we wanted it to be a very welcoming space of good quality, good design, so that people would be happy coming here and spending some time, and again bringing together the community through the arts.
So originally it was more of a community centre than it is now. and it's developed more into a venue for professional acts. So how did that come about?
Yeah. I think we never really wanted it to be a community centre. We wanted it to be, in that sense, which probably people understand, we wanted to be a centre for the community and the wider community. So it did start off with very local things. I mean, to be honest, some of the people that we had were friends of friends of friends. Mm. And it took us a little while to get that going to where it is today. But it very quickly took off with lots of people being interested. I mean, at that time, and even now, there is a very, very kind of artistic community with lots of very talented people living here with contacts and so on. So we were able to draw in a wide variety of acts, and we, you know, we're really kind of proud of what we've done in terms of bringing together that original mission statement, which was good quality regional, national and international acts.
Because I believe in the past you've had some very famous people who have plied the trade here.
Well, so I've been told. I mean, it's mostly comedy. We've probably got some other people that we don't know about, but I know that Paul Singer has, who's now, he's on The Chase, or mm-hmm. he was. And
he's still there.
He's still there. And he was a stand-up comedian here back in the day, as was Alan Carr and John Bishop. They don't recognise us anymore and they wouldn't come back here. But more lately, we have had Gregory Porter here. He did a rehearsal here when he was on at the O2, the arena. And that was very exciting. We were suddenly very, very busy that afternoon with people who just happened to pop in and see him. But he was great. It was lovely. So that was nice.
So talking about acts then, what do you find are your most popular acts?
I think it varies, and it has varied. Comedy, as I mentioned, is very popular. And at the moment, we've got two main comedy types. We've got stand-up comedy at the end of the month and an improv comedy at the beginning. So they're both usually more or less sold out each time. The music is very popular. And we do lots of different genres. So jazz, we're well known for jazz. We've got lots of international artists coming to perform here. Blues, rock, a lot of classical, not quite so much. South Asian arts, we collaborate with them. So they're all very popular in their own right, and they bring their own audience. So there's not usually much overlap, to be honest, between the different genres of music. And lately we've been doing some Saturday afternoon gigs in the bar, which again, they've proved very, very, very popular. And that's a 4 to 6 slot. And that's more local-ish people. And that they bring their own crowd. Plus we've got regulars who come every week, more or less, to listen to that. What we have found is that the theatre post-COVID certainly has become more difficult to draw an audience for. But having said that, the few that we've been able to put on and that we're hoping to put on in the future have drawn an audience. So we go for short shows that, you know, are generally of general interest, and that enables people, well, people are coming out to see those things. So, for example, we had a sold out theatre event on last Saturday, and there's one coming up on this coming Saturday, and that's also sold out. You never quite know, but we do like to take a risk. But you know, as long as it hopefully usually pays off, it's worth it.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier on about COVID. How did you have to change your approach with the post-COVID situation?
Well, obviously it was a nightmare like it was for everybody in hospitality, but we have changed, and we used to open 7 days a week. Now we only open 5 because we found Mondays and Tuesdays people really don't want to come out. We've changed the timings of our events because I think people's habits have changed post-COVID, tend not to want to stay out late, or at least our audiences don't want to, you know. So that's why the 4 to 6 slot is very popular, where it wouldn't have been, I don't think, in the same way pre-COVID, but that's popular. We also have stopped doing food. So at one time we were a restaurant, well, cafe type of restaurant, but we stopped doing food because that was just not cost effective. So we've tried to, in order to be sustainable, we've tried to focus on the things that we do, the things that we do well, and the things that we want to do, basically the things that are our core business.
And you have a very nice policy of allowing people to bring food in from the local businesses to eat in your bar.
We have a collaboration with Canteen across the road. That's really the main one. And that worked very well. And it's continuing to work. And then in the summer months, we have food trucks outside. So people can get something and eat outside or eat inside. So we do that as a kind of compromise.
Yeah, and that was a development from COVID, I believe, having pop-ups outside.
Actually, no, the pop-ups started before COVID, as well as having the kind of in-house stuff. But they're certainly more popular post-COVID.
And as well as having all these arts and things, it is still essentially a local bar with local people dropping in. It's got a nice community feeling. I'm a local and I was in recently for both a show and for the quiz. What kind of people are you attracting to the quiz? Because they're extremely difficult, I might say.
Well, yes, they are extremely difficult. I can agree with that. I think we've got a reputation with the quiz as it being... It's difficult, but it attracts people who really like that level of difficulty. So it's not about television and, you know, popular stuff. It's more, I hate to say, but more intellectual. Contest your knowledge in a less frivolous way. So they're very popular. They were popular pre-COVID and they're popular again after COVID as well. But they're difficult.
So before you retired, you were a headmistress in Harrogate, which I imagine was quite a challenging job at times. Do you think those skills, they're the skills that you've brought to managing this venue?
Well, I think being a head teacher, you've got to be involved with people, and a lot of what I do here is involved with people. I think what I had to do as a head teacher was focusing on the core business of education and making sure that I got the best out of the students that were in my care. And I think that's what we try to do here, not education, but education in the arts. Keep focused on our core business and make sure that we build the quality acts for the people in our care here. So that's the people that come to Seven. A lot of my job as a head teacher was to do with staffing and hiring and firing. And that's a lot of what I do now, if you like, HR. Mm-hmm. So making sure that the staff we've got are as friendly and as hardworking as they can be, and they understand what we're doing here. And I suppose financially as well, understanding that, you know, you can't live beyond your means. You've got to keep your head above water. And that's what we do here by, I think the core thing is really focusing on what we do best. And I think one of the things that I had as a head teacher, which we talked about here as well, is you're probably familiar with Charles Handy, who is a quite a famous person in organisational structures. And one of the things that one of his quotes is, and I'm misquoting, but basically, you can't wait for great people to come along with visions. what you have to do is light your own small fires in the darkness. And that's what I tried to do as a head teacher, make sure that you can't change the world, but you can change what you do around you in that small way. And I think that's what we do at Seven. You know, we can't change the whole cultural state of the UK, but we can make it better for people here in our community.
Do you feel that you have achieved one of your original intentions then of becoming a cultural corridor to sort of bind Chapel Allerton and Chapel Town together? Because they're two quite different environments.
It was one of the things that why we decided to call it Seven, because it's in LS7 and LS7 is quite a diverse area. And it was very much joining that cultural corridor. There are, you know, lots of arts activities going on in Chapel Town as well as here. And I think we have achieved that because we've got a lot of cross-cultural events here. We do a number of events which have stemmed from the Geraldine Connor Foundation. And Geraldine Connor was, well, famous in Leeds but nationally, but she organised the Carnival Messiah, which took place at Howard House. And a lot of those young people who took part in that are actually not so young anymore, but a number of them are involved with activities which they organise here, helping to develop the arts in the Chapel Town community and beyond. So we're really pleased that we've got that. We've got the relationship liaison with South Asian Arts as well. Phoenix Dance, Northern School of Contemporary Dance. So I think so. I think we've got quite good networks alongside a variety of cultural organisations.
This is a huge commitment for you individually, isn't it? How many hours a week are you volunteering currently?
Oh, quite a few. Not as many as I did as a head teacher, but then I got paid for that. I think probably it varies from week to week, but during the week, probably 30 to 35 hours. And then we do a bit at weekends because we organise the doors and, you know, we do the box office and that sort of thing. So, yeah, probably 30 to 35 hours.
You're obviously in tune with what makes a creative act. Was this driven by your own personal experiences?
Well, my background is in science, strangely, but I've always had an interest in the arts. And I think going back to my head teacher days, I saw the huge difference that the arts can make to young people, and that's really where my interest developed, I suppose. It's a very powerful tool for encouraging youngsters to express themselves, and it is a bit of a sadness to me that arts is not quite as well developed as it was anymore, but that's another story. But I mean, I suppose, and so just having that interest, I could see the power of the arts and the difference it can make. And that's just transferred here in terms of developing the arts festival, first of all, as a community, bringing together people, because it does, and similarly working here and encouraging people to be together and enjoy something creative.
If you enjoyed this, there are more Shine On podcasts to listen to. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more extraordinary stories on our website, articles, interviews and features by and about fascinating older people in Leeds and Yorkshire. Go to www.theshinemag.com. If you have an idea for a podcast or would like to join the storytelling team, contact us at podcasts@theshinemag.com. Shine On is brought to you by the makers of Shine Magazine, with support from Chapel FM. Season 1 is funded by Leeds Inspired.